We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2. WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com. Now, here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
All right, welcome to the show, everybody. A one-hour tour of University of Miami sports tonight, talking primarily baseball. Hurricanes head coach Gino Demare joins us momentarily. Then we'll be talking with Aaron Fitt from D1 Baseball, the co-editor of D1 Baseball and a national writer about college baseball. And then we'll hear from Director of Player Personnel for football, Andy Vaughn, who joined Joe Rose and Dave Hyde this morning. That is the show coming up. But first, time for your chance to win $1,000. It's 560 WQAM's Take Dono's Dollars. Your chance to take home $1,000. Text the word MOON to 72881, and you are registered. Text MOON, like the moon is in the sky. Moon to 72881. Do that right now. If you don't win this time, your next chance is tomorrow morning with Joe and Zach. This is a national contest. Message and data rates apply. Don't text and drive. It's all brought to you by Endajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. All right, University of Miami. Hurricanes baseball, 20 games over 500 inside of the top 20, playing great baseball. And joining us on the show right now is Gino Demare. Coach, good evening. How are you?
Good, Joe. How you doing?
Very good. Thank you. Got the club playing really well inside the top 20 as you head here into the final 2 weeks of the season. So you've got them poised in the right spot here with 2 weeks to go.
Yeah, well, you know, we're happy where we're at. You know, there's things we got to do to get better. We got to keep improving. Certainly the defense is one thing we've got to do a better job of. We're going to do what we've set out to do. But I'm happy, certainly, with especially the fact that we've had some guys, key guys, be down for the last few weeks. And other guys have stepped up and done a good job, whether it's pitchers stepping up and moving them into starting roles, like a guy like Kaiser yesterday who threw excellent for us. And even moving Slade from being a midweek guy to a couple of weeks, they're throwing against people's other teams' aces, and he's done a good job. And of course, you know, implementing some different guys for Zamora because of him being out and Villar playing short, putting Escala in there. And so I'm very happy and proud of the guys for the fact that, you know, it's a tough thing to have your 1-2 pitchers down, your starting shortstop, who's your third hole hitter, be down during the same time, basically, and still for us to find ways to win games.
Yeah, put this into a proper perspective. You go into this week's play, winners of 17 of your last 21 games. Pretty good.
Yeah, it is. It is, and that's the right time to do it. So, you know, we want to certainly be trying to play our best baseball at the end. I think we're doing that for the most part from a pitching standpoint and certainly a hitting standpoint. I'd like to see the defense do its job too so we can put it all together, because if we can do that, and we can make a really, really interesting run here down the stretch.
Do you sense that with your players? And even though it's a young team, but those kids have probably played a lot of baseball, a lot of tournament baseball in their careers, high school, travel ball. But do you sense, I guess maybe I want to use the word killer instinct, that is starting to grow part of their maturing process?
Yeah, I mean, I think this goes way back to when we first started, Joe, back in August when we started school. And just start talking about what are we doing here? I mean, what's this program, the University of Miami program? What do we? I mean, the last couple of years have just been an embarrassment for all of us, me included, and it hasn't been any fun. So just trying to start from that moment forward to now, just trying to implement, you know, what, you know, I think our slogan's been you know, this thing matters. It matters to everybody in that locker room that we've got to get this program. It matters to a lot of people outside the locker room, but it's got to matter to us and what has happened the last few years is not acceptable. And so that this has been an ongoing thing. I think that as the season goes on and you're winning games and you build that confidence and guys are playing together as a team, which I think our guys do a very good job. And I think we got some tough kids, and that's the sport. You got to be tough mentally because there's so many things that go against you. It's not an easy sport to play, and you got to have guys that are just tough mentally that can, overcome the adversities, because that's what this sport is going to give you, a lot of adversity. And this team, for me, has probably been as tough mentally as any that I can remember in recent years. So that's something I am proud of, being able to coach these guys.
Now, you mentioned the defense, and we saw that against Bethune in the middle game. If we look back at last weekend's series, committed some errors in the games. You were able to play around that. But perhaps when you get into ACC tournament or regional play, defense becomes very important. Is it a case maybe of just sometimes you got to put the ball in your back pocket?
You know, no, I don't think so. I mean, I'm just thinking of yesterday. I mean, our errors, they're kind of silly ones, you know. We're just, errors happen, but we can't let it be a consistent thing. I mean, you're going to make some errors here and there, but it's been a little too consistent. But just throwing, we made some simple throws that we just didn't throw. We threw the ball away, and then we didn't catch a ball on a pick. That wasn't a great pick, but it needs to be caught. I mean, the glove's on the ball, and just not catching the ball is silly, silly errors where we're giving runs away. And you're right, when you start getting into this tournament play, ACC and then the NCAA tournament, you're playing really good teams, you can't afford to give more than 27 outs. It's just not going to work, not on a consistent basis. So, you know, certainly, you know, our guys are aware of it, and we know. And we've shown signs where we play very good defense, but then we'll show signs where we just, you know, absolutely play horrible. And, you know, we did that the last few games where that's just not going to work. Certainly we were able to overcome it. I know that, but you can't do that. You just can't do that every game, and not when you start playing, you know, really, really good competition and really good pitching.
I guess moving forward, when you do play clean games, after you do play a clean game, you are a very, very dangerous team.
Yeah. Florida State saw that, because we did that. If I think back, that might have been as clean a game as we played. We won that first one 10 or 11 nothing, whatever it was. And then we came back and won 4 to nothing. Both games we pitched well, we defended well, and we swung the bat. And our guys know that. If we play, and I've said this to them I don't know how many times, but when we play a complete game, we can beat anybody in the country. And, I feel that way. I truly feel that way. And I know I think our guys do too. So it's something we are aware of, and that's our goal going into each game, is to try to play a complete game. It doesn't always work that way. Nobody's going to play a perfect, complete game every game. We just need to do it more consistently. That's all.
The bad news is you've had some injuries to some key players. The good news is it's allowed you to develop depth, get a good look at some other guys, maybe move some guys around positions, but also create competition not only on the pitcher's mound, but also in the field as well.
Everything you just said is absolutely true. I mean, you don't like to have guys hurt. Certainly key guys, and we've had, you know, our key guys go down. We've had other guys hurt too, by the way, that guys that would be playing if they weren't hurt. So, you know, we've had some other guys hurt that have been on the bench but would have gotten opportunities. So, but the ones that have, it's allowed them to get their opportunities. They've done well. You're right. It does give us experience. It's going to give us experience on the mound and the bullpen, certainly give us experience on the bench in terms of hitters, and so it's good for everything. And the competition thing is huge, because it doesn't seem like we've had that. Gosh, it's been a long time since I can recall, and I'm going back, I mean, a really long time, where I can recall us having such depth and competition like we have right now. And it's a good thing, and the chemistry of the team is very good, and everybody's pulling for each other. I know everybody wants to play, and they should all want to play, but the guys that aren't playing or pulling for the guys that are, and of course the guys that are getting opportunities, everybody's pulling for them too. So that's the hardest thing to probably gauge, is the chemistry of your team, but I would say that ours is pretty doggone good right now.
Coach, are you in a in any way a time bind, in that you got 2 weeks of the regular season left? You do have three key players you'd like to get back: McMahon, McHenry and Freddie Zamora, and you'd like to be able to, you want them healthy for the postseason, you want them healthy just because of being baseball players, you need to take care of them, but you'd also like to get them at-bats or innings pitched before the big postseason starts. How do you manage that?
Well, the first thing is you got to make sure they're not going out there until they're healthy and they're cleared to go, which we've been very good about doing and patient with them. And so everybody's on a process right now. McMahon is the guy that's going to come from the pitching side between McMahon and McHenry. McMahon will throw this weekend up at Wake Forest on Monday. He's going to pitch. He'll have will have had two bullpen sessions before that game. McHenry, his first outing will be Friday against Duke, and he'll have two bullpen sessions prior to that too as well. So in regards to Zamora, and the guys feel great. Both those guys feel great. So it's all been good news. Knock on wood, we don't get any setbacks. But if we do, then we got to deal with it. That's just the way it is. Zamora had swung the bat for the first time yesterday, BP, and he absolutely, the bat was jumping through the zone. As good as I've seen him all year. So I felt really good after that. We rested him today. He'll hit more tomorrow. I'm not sure if he'll play on Wednesday, but I feel pretty good about saying he probably will play at some point this weekend, if not sooner. But he's not going to go until he feels comfortable. I certainly liked what I saw from him yesterday. But, again, we're trying to take our time, make sure these guys are ready to go when they do get back. And, again, it'll be a process. The pitchers, it is a little bit of – they're going to be on a pitch count when they first start. So, you know, we'll have to work them their way in there. But at the end of the day, when they're fully ready, we'll get them back out there.
Adrian Del Castillo, let's put his season into perspective for Hurricane fans. 59 RBIs, tied for the most by a Hurricane since 2016. That was Zach Collins, pretty good player.
Yeah.
His 59 RBIs are the most by a freshman since Yonder Alonso, had 69 in 2006. So Yonder was just voted to the All-Hurricanes team. So this is a pretty special season for a pretty special player.
It is, and those records, I think, are probably safe to say they're going to be broken by the end of this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, you know, it's not a tough one there. When you get a player like Dell and comes in, and we've all been as coaches kind of giving out all these accolades of him, and you're always cautious of that because you don't want to put, you know, too much on him. But it don't even faze him. It doesn't faze him one bit. You could put the pressure on him or whatever you want to do. It's not going to matter for him. He's just got that, forget the swing, the beautiful swing that he has and just how good he is at the plate and knocking in runs. But he's got those intangibles that you can't teach. He's just got them. He's a very tough kid. He's a very confident kid. And, you know, just love coaching him. And like I said many a times, very fortunate that we have him on our team. Fortunate he's going to be here for a few more years. And I think we've said it many a times, this guy's going to be one before it's all said and done. He'll be one of the all-time greats. But there's different kinds of hitters. You know, you had the Burles and the Yonder Alonzos and Ryan Braun's. And I know I'll leave out some guys, but those were great hitters, but power guys that, you know, hit monster home runs. And of course, Zach Collins falls into there too. But Dell is just that pure hitter. He's got pop and he'll get more and more pop as he goes along. But he's as good a pure hitter in terms of hitting the ball to all fields, squaring up the ball, not striking out. He's as good as maybe I've seen at Miami in my 20 plus years there.
This kid, JP Gates, is ripping the ball. He hit a home run and threw a scoreless inning in the same game, first time since 2007. But at the plate, you can see his confidence at the plate.
It's awesome. I mean, you don't expect this. We recruited him as a pitcher. We knew he hit. We certainly gave him an opportunity to hit, but he wasn't, in my mind, envisioned to be a guy in our lineup. He got an opportunity. NC State is the game, I believe. We brought him in that middle game, I want to say, and we were down a few runs in the last inning, and he hit a bomb to right center field, and that got him inserted in the lineup, and he's pretty much been in it ever since then. I love left-handed hitters. He's a left-handed guy. He's a strong guy. Got really a lot of raw power. I mean, raw power. People probably don't realize that he only has, I think, three home runs maybe on the year, but he's got a lot of juice in his bat. And another kid, it's a tough kid. He's been an RBI machine. I think he might, believe it or not, hit with runners in scoring position. I think he hits higher than anybody on our team, and that's including Dell. Both of them hit for an unbelievable average, but I think Gates hits higher than anybody on our team with runners in scoring position. That's a great stat to have. So, and the pitching, obviously, not where we had hoped for. He was slated to be our closer going into the season. Had some setbacks. He has pitched better as of late, so he's a guy we're bringing out of the pen too, and another versatile guy. And I'm hoping we can use him more and more on the pitching side. But definitely, he's a guy's going to be in our lineup.
This is a week that sees you face Greg Lovelady, a former player of yours at Central Florida. Then Wake Forest. You and Wake Forest are leading the league, leading the ACC in home runs. So this could be a wild weekend of baseball.
It is, yeah. So UCF is certainly the game that needs to be on our mind first and foremost. But all the teams remaining on our schedule, with Duke being the other one, we had seven games. But all their RPIs are very good, which is good for us because that means if we play well and win games, then we're going to continue to move up in a great position for us, which is good. Gives us all the advantages we'd like to have. You mentioned UCF. It's another midweek game. We've done a great job in midweek games all season long. This will probably be our toughest test, if I had to guess, for a midweek game, just from the standpoint of UCF's very good, but also from a pitching standpoint, we're going to probably throw a lot of guys. We're going to start Albert Mari. And so for Albert, he's not a guy that's going to be able to throw, 75 pitches. So basically, it's going to have to put Charlie Holstaff, if you know what I mean, and we're going to need guys to step up and pitch well. They're going to have to pitch better. Some of these guys in the pen are going to have to pitch better than what they have before. We need guys to throw strikes. We don't need to be given free passes. It's going to take a total team effort from the pitching standpoint, and certainly offensively we need to do our part like we've been doing, because that's going to be a big game for us Wednesday.
I've got a great RPI inside the top 20. Really, as we end the conversation, probably the same way we started. Great opportunities in front of you, and great opportunity not only to return to the NCAA tournament, which you will, but great opportunity to also host at Alex Rodriguez Park at Marklade Field.
Yes, it is, Joe. It's this whole thing. There's a process to it. Certainly, our end goal is winning this whole thing, and that's a very tough thing to do. Only one team can do it. We'd like to have the opportunity to play at home in front of our fans. I think our fans would like that. Our players certainly. None of them have been none of them have played in the NCAA tournament. So, or most of them haven't, I shouldn't say. So, I've told the guys playing in the regionals or super regionals at Marklade is an unbelievable experience. But if it doesn't happen, that's okay too. We've gone on the road and won. Worked our way on the road in the regionals and super regionals and won the World Series. So we can do it either way. But the bottom line is we got to keep playing good baseball. We got to get better defensively. We got to keep getting better in all areas. And at the end of the day, we want to be one of the hottest teams at the end of the season that gives ourselves a chance to win this thing.
Okay, Coach, always great to talk to you. I'll see you on Wednesday.
Okay, Joe. Thanks for having me.
All right, thank you. That's University of Miami head coach Gino Demari joining us on the show. He's got the team playing great baseball. 20 games over 500, 34-14. RPI number 11 inside the top 20 in all of the polls, just trending in the right direction. And a bit of a tidal wave coming along here with Hurricanes baseball. They get a few guys back here. They've got a chance to have a very, very exciting finish. We'll continue. We'll talk more college baseball when we come back.
This is Hurricane Hotline on AM 560 and 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com. Now, back to Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Canes, Joe Zagacki.
All right, our show continues. More college baseball. Joining us now is Aaron Fitt. Aaron is a national baseball writer from D1 Baseball, co-editor of D1 Baseball, doing a great job with that. This is a tremendous time of the year for college baseball, and Aaron Fitt is with us now. Aaron, thank you for being with us on the show. How are you?
I'm great. How you doing?
Very good. Let me get your thoughts first. Let's start with the University of Miami. Hurricanes are playing great baseball under Coach Demari. What do you see in the University of Miami?
Well, I think it's a really exciting club. You know, we certainly thought they were talented even last year when they struggled, but we were excited to see what would happen as all those talented freshmen last year grew up. And we're starting to see that now. You know, those guys as sophomores taking big jumps. You know, certainly you look at Raymond Gill and Alex Terrell and, you know, Zamora when he's been healthy. I mean, it's just a really, really talented group of guys. And they're athletic. They got some power. They got some, you know, some speed in there. They, you know, when they're healthy, they defend well. And I like the arms a lot. So I think they're a balanced team that if they're healthy and they're hot at the right time, I think it can make some real noise in the postseason.
I think, like football, college baseball is better when Miami is relevant.
Yeah, absolutely agree. And, you know, certainly feel that way about the Blue Bloods. You know, it's why it's weird to see Texas and Cal State Fullerton, you know, and even Florida State kind of fighting for its postseason life. Some of those traditional powers, you know, it's a lot harder to win year in and year out than it used to be. And I think we're seeing that now. Certainly, you know, you guys saw it down there. I mean, Miami misses regionals 2 years in a row after going, what, 44 years in a row. It's not any indictment of Miami's program. It's just, it's a lot harder now. I mean, just look around the country. I mean, Clemson and TCU and Virginia, I mean, all these teams that have been contenders now for a long time, they're all struggling.
What about Miami's RPI right now and their ranking? How important is that?
Yeah, it's important because I think they're right there in the mix to host a regional, you know, and certainly, as we all know, hosting gives you a much better chance to get to Omaha. And right now they're, what are they, I think 14-10 in the league with a top 12 or so RPI. I mean, they're in really good shape if they can take care of business these last two weekends. I think if they win those last two series, I think they host for sure. And I think if they go 3-3 in those last two weekends, I think they probably still host. So it's, you know, the only thing that's against them is that the mark against the top 25 isn't really good. I think it's 3-9. So, you know, that could be something that's used against them with the committee. But I think if they take care of business in conference, they'll be okay anyway.
Yeah. They are right where they need to be. 2 weeks to go in the season with a chance to host. And generally when Miami is a host of a regional, that is good news for the Hurricanes.
Yeah, it's a tough place to go win, you know, and Miami certainly has always fed off of its crowd and the energy down there. And they have that history and that mojo that goes along with it. You know, when they're playing at home, they're tough to beat in the postseason. They have been for decades.
Got a chance to win the Coastal Division as well. They're going to go into the weekend just one game behind both Carolina and Georgia Tech. They own the tiebreaker against Georgia Tech, but not North Carolina.
Yeah, they're right there in the thick of it. You're right. And, you know, the schedule, maybe it favors North Carolina a little bit because they get three games against Pittsburgh. But, you know, Pitt gave Florida State a little trouble this past weekend, so you never know. But, you know, I think if Miami can at least, you know, win a game at Wake Forest and maybe two, and they're certainly capable. But Wake Forest is a tough team to beat at home. You know, you talk about a team that is built for its ballpark. It's a bandbox, you know, and they tend to play a lot better at home than they do in the road. So I think that's a difficult series coming up. But if Miami can stay afloat this weekend, maybe even win that series in the road, you got to like their chances to win the division.
How about the impact of Coach Damari in his first year? Got him, as I mentioned, starting the week at 20 games over 500. He might get and should probably receive some votes and be very worthy of an ACC Coach of the Year conversation. I know Louisville's having a great year, but this has been a pretty good rebuild, and he did it in a hurry.
Yeah, you're right, and it's no surprise to me, really. You know, I always thought that Gino was a great fit to take over there for Jim Morris, and was eager to see what he could do in that role. And, you know, he's helped build this team anyway with all those his recruiting stuff, and now he's kind of getting to reap the rewards as these young guys develop. You know, I just think he's got the right temperament to be a head coach very successfully in Division I baseball. I mean, I think he's pretty even-keeled and been doing this a long time, and I think he can really teach hitting. And he's got a great staff around him there, of course, with JD. And, you know, it's just I think they have the ingredients in place to be contenders for a long time going forward, like they have been, you know, for a long time in the past.
What are your thoughts of the ACC overall? You're going to see the ACC in a couple of weeks in Durham, but overall, where does the ACC stack up with the rest of the nation?
It's good, I think, but maybe not as good as it has been in the past. You know, you've really only got, in my opinion, the one elite team at the top with Louisville. I think they're really balanced and complete. Georgia Tech's had a great year, and they deserve to be ranked in the top 10, but they've had some hiccups in the bullpen, and I just don't know if I trust their pitching going forward, especially they just lost Grant Herter to injury for the rest of the season. That hurts them. And so to me, I'm still a little concerned about Tech's pitching, but you know, I think the depth of the league is okay. Some of those teams that we liked a lot heading into the year got up slow starts, you know, look at Duke and Wake Forest, Florida State, you know, all those teams have kind of rallied since then, which makes me think that the league is in a little bit better shape depth-wise, and now you're looking at probably 7 or 8 regional bids with a chance for 9, you know, if Wake Forest can do what it needs to do down the stretch. So as the dust has settled, it looks more like a typical year in the ACC, just not an elite year for the league.
What happened to North Carolina State? We saw them earlier in the year. They looked great. They were 22-1. They've fallen off a bit. What happened to State?
And part of it is injuries. You know, they had a stretch there where they struggled without Will Wilson, and Patrick Bailey was kind of banged up. And those are, of course, their two best players and two of the best players in the country. And the pitching, too, you know. Kent Kleiman hasn't been the same guy he was last year, and they were counting on Dalton Feeney to be a big piece of that staff, and you know, he hasn't been himself either. Those guys have both been banged up, so the injuries are probably a bit, and also I think part of it is they probably just played a little bit over their heads in the first half. You know, they just won a lot of games they probably shouldn't have won, post games and wild comebacks and things like that, and that stuff can even out over time a little bit. I've never thought their pitching was elite. You know, I thought they had some depth and some ability to mix and match, but it's their offense that was really their calling card. And, you know, if you don't have the shutdown arms on the weekend, I think sometimes it's hard to sustain that level of play.
Outside of the ACC, what have been some of the big college baseball stories for you this year?
Well, you know, the Pac-12 has had 3 teams that were really right there at the top of the rankings, 1, 2, 3 for a while, with UCLA, Stanford, and then Oregon State. The Beavers got swept this weekend and took a drop in the rankings, but you know they're still a factor again, when you know, as they have been for a while now. But to me, Oregon State's pitching is elite, but the rest of it, the offense piece is way behind those other teams. Even though they have Adley Rutschman, who's the best player in the country, in the middle, he doesn't have a lot of help this year. But overall, like the pack is back, you know, stronger than it has been the last couple of years, particularly with UCLA having an incredible season. I think clearly the best season in the country if you look at their body of work. And the SEC, as always, is extremely deep and very good at the top and probably will wind up with 4 national seeds when it's all said and done.
What's going on with the Gators?
The Gators are in trouble. They're 9-15 now in the SEC. They're probably not going to make a regional. You know, I think they need to go 5-1 these last 2 weekends to get to that crucial 14-win mark in the SEC. In order to have a real chance. And I don't think that's going to happen because they're just very young. Again, kind of like Miami last year, I really like the talent in their freshman and sophomore classes, but they're not ready yet. And it's as simple as that, you know. And we're not used to seeing Kevin O'Sullivan teams have years like this. He usually is able to just plug in new guys and keep on rolling. But this year, I think the youth has just caught up with them.
Yeah. Got to the championship round, I guess it was last year, the year before. Won the championship, 2 years ago, but struggling this year. Some thought they might be, if Miami hosted that, if they made the regional, we would see the Gators, but as you mentioned, they might be on life support right now.
Yeah, after getting swept this weekend, I think they're really behind the eight ball. So, you know, if they can, like I said, if they can win 4 or 5 of their last conference games and then maybe make a little run in Hoover, you could still see them as a 3 seed in Coral Gables. That wouldn't shock me.
How about Florida State? They got off to a slow start, then they got hot. Where do you see the Noles finishing?
They're still on the bubble just because of the RPI. It's still outside the top 50, even though they've come a long way. I mean, maybe a month ago they were outside the top 100. So they have made progress in the RPI, but typically you just don't see ACC teams in the 50s get at-large bids. It's just very, very rare. I can't think of an example of it happening in the last 15 years. But it's a weird case because they're 16-11 in the league, you know, and usually if you get to 18 wins in the ACC, you're talking about hosting, you know, forget about being an at-large. So it's just a strange case for them. And, you know, I think they need to keep on playing pretty well here because that RPI just gives them a little margin for error. So I think their series at Louisville the last weekend is really important.
Or how strange would that be to have Florida and Florida State not make a regional in the same year?
Yeah, and you know, in Mike Martin's final season, and he's been in regionals each of his previous 39 years and won 40-plus games in all of those seasons, and You know, he's won 16 regionals in the last 20 years. I mean, you know, the guy's body of work is incredible. It would be, I think, an unfortunate way for his career to end. But I have a feeling he's going to find a way to get back in there. He usually pulls the right levers at the right times and gets that team to make a run in the month of May.
Oh, speaking of old 11, who do you think is going to get that job next year?
You know, I'm still betting on Mike Martin Jr., but it's not a slam dunk. Really, nobody knows what's going to happen down there. You know, there's some sentiment for Doug Menkiewicz, the former Seminole, who's been a AAA manager. You know, there are other people I'm sure would be interested in the job. It's a great job. You have to imagine that they would like the continuity with Mike Martin Jr. And it's just hard to say right now what's going on with the administration there. You know, new AD, and nobody really has a good feel for it. So that's going to be a major thing to watch here as we get into the offseason.
All right, very good. Aaron, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. And we'll be talking to you as we get closer to NCAA tournament time.
Absolutely. You got it.
All right, that's Aaron Fitt joining us from D1 Baseball, national college baseball writer, talking about the University of Miami and college baseball in general. When we come back, Hurricanes director of player personnel, Andy Vaughn, a conversation he had with Joe Rose and Dave Hyde from earlier today. That's coming up next.
Everyone, we got Andy Vaughn, director of player personnel for the University of Miami, joining us this morning. Andy, good morning. How you doing?
Awesome, guys. How about you?
We're doing great. By the way, thank you for coming on. I know it's a crazy busy time. High school recruiting and spring football is going on. I love what you guys have said, though. Protecting home turf here in South Florida, and Manny talked about seeing all those number one picks, five of them, four in Brower, one in Dade, none went to the U. How do you get that flipped around? Give me some steps when you and Manny are talking to get that flipped around.
I think the big thing is just identifying those guys early in the process. You know, we've got to do a great job of working those youth leagues and those other early high school years, knowing the guys, who they are early, identifying those guys, starting to build those relationships early. You know, we've got some great guys on staff, David Cooney, DeMarcus Van Dyke, Edwin Pata, that are going to be great relationship guys that know this area a lot better than anyone else. They're going to build those relationships with those kids and those families as early as we can, just by the rules, having those guys on campus. So that's the big thing. As you know, everybody comes down here and fishes in our pond, so you know, we've got to do a good job of finding the right guys early, building those relationships so those relationships can stand the test of time when other guys come in and try to sell them a dream. You know,
right.
They already know that they can accomplish everything they want to do here. So,
how do you, your first 30 days on the job, do you have 30 lunches at 30 high schools introducing yourself? Are you allowed to by the NCAA? How do you build the relationships personally with the high schools?
Sure. Yeah, as support staff, we're not allowed to go off campus and recruit. Our big thing is just communication, just NCAA-wise, just with text message, electronic media, those kind of things. Having those kids on campus, you know, just being here in the first 30 days, it blew my mind how many top prospects just pop by campus at a whim, you know, just because of where we live and where the university's located now. Those guys just constantly come to campus, so getting those guys on campus, finding different things to do with those kids and their families that show them that University of Miami, they can accomplish everything they want to accomplish, you know, on the field and off the field by staying home. And that's the big thing, is just getting those guys on campus. And that's where we'll do most of our work. So,
Andy, I know you came from Arizona. How different from recruiting the Pac-12 and being at Arizona to now being here in Miami? Is there a big difference in the kids you're recruiting? And obviously the talent in the backyard, I know, is not even close to what you were used to.
Yeah, I mean, I've kind of been all over the country. I've been out in the Midwest. I've been on the West Coast twice. You know, obviously got my start in the Southeast. But the big thing here is just your proximity to talent. Most of the places I've been, you've got to identify those guys. And then the big step is talking them into making an investment into coming to campus. Here, they're right outside your back door. So that's the big thing. But, you know, that's a two sides of the coin, right? Because everybody knows there's great players in Florida, especially South Florida. So they're going to come down here and recruit just as hard as we are. So we've got to do even more work to get those guys to stay, because there's just so much more traffic in the schools from other universities coming through. So I think the kids are really the same, and just the things that they want in a university, with the things they want in a football program. So the big thing is just, like I said before, identifying those guys and finding the hook. You know, what's going to be important to those kids? What's going to separate us and that kid and that family's mind from anybody else who's going to recruit them? So
we've all seen the stories of the sixth grader getting offered scholarships. When you say identifying, what age or what grade are you stepping in and saying, this is, you know, here's our class for 3 or 4 years out, I guess?
Yeah, I don't know if you do it that early, but it's just knowing who is in your backyard, you know. So we don't necessarily have to offer those kids at that age, but just knowing, okay, these kids are coming up through this program, they're going to be in this high school, we need to make sure that we're you know, watching that high school. And when those guys come up, we need to start watching their game film and just making sure we're aware of where they're at just in this area. So
Andy, tell us something about Manny Diaz, that besides the fact he comes on and we know he's really good on social media, we know he's been a great defensive coordinator. What have you seen from him as a boss? I'm just curious.
You know, he's the main reason that I came to the University of Miami, is to work for him. You know, he's energetic. He knows what he wants, and he's gonna make sure that permeates every part of the program. That's the exciting part, is that there's no second guessing. What do we want here? What do we want to do with this? You know, he's got a clear vision of what he wants to do here, and knows how it needs to be done. If anybody's got an idea of how the University of Miami should run, it's him. So that's the exciting part. He knows what he wants to do, and he's an infectious personality, right? So everything we're doing, you know, it comes from him. So he kind of energizes the whole place. So.
Andy, are the relationships good enough in Dave Broward and Palm Beach with the head coaches, or is that something you always have to work on, or do you think overall they're pretty good?
I think it's just always something you have to cultivate. I mean, you know, for me being out here 30 days, I can't really speak about the history of it or every relationship right now, but I think that's just something you have to constantly cultivate. You got to have those guys on campus just like the kids. And you know, we're here as a resource. Coach Diaz has made that clear to those guys that we want to be a resource for their programs. If they want to come in and talk ball, talk defense, talk offense, whatever it may be, talk, you know, there's been a ton of guys come through the weight room visiting with Coach David Feely just about his strength program, how they can get better in their high school. So anything we can do to help those guys, we're going to do. And that just only helps those relationships.
Read about your interest with computer work, really, and updating. Can you tell people, are you changing the way Miami's analytically looking at players, or is this overstated?
I don't know if it's totally analytics. I think the biggest thing for us in any college program is just being able to have a place where you can collect data, and then you can get that data out of it. So it's not only just measurables, you know, how much does a kid weigh, how tall is he, how fast does he run, you know, how big is his wingspan. It's all those measurables, but it's also analytics as far as just communication aspect, because that's such a big thing, electronic communication. So what is his cell phone number? What is his social media? How is his social media tracking? Who else is it? What other programs are talking to him on social media? How has that increased or decreased over the last week or over the last month? So it's more so just outside of football, just as much as it is those measurables and those kind of things. So I think that's something that can only help you, is when you're organized, you can easily pull data and information at a moment's notice. And you know, all the guys in our office are constantly tracking kids and who's communicating with them and what they have going on as far as offers and visits and all those kind of things. So we have to have a way to track all that stuff. And so that's really what we're trying to get to, is that model where there's one place that we can store all this information and pull it out of really quickly. So,
Andy, one problem down here, and I was wondering how it affects you, is we got a big problem. I think it's a problem. Probably some people are going to disagree. We got a lot of kids transferring from year to year, from high school to high school. How's that affect for you trying to figure out where guys are, and do you care why they transfer? Is it like, not, he just wants to be on a better team, or it's a better fit? How do you treat that?
Yeah, I mean, I've kind of been introduced to that a little bit while I've been here, but I think it's just on a case-by-case basis. So, you know, just for me, I can't judge why they make those decisions. It's just whatever they think is best for their future and their family. So we can't begrudge them that. I think the biggest thing is just us tracking that, knowing where they're at, what coach they're going to be with, what relationships we have at those high schools. So it is a little bit of a job to track all those guys, but it's just something that, yeah, in this environment, we just have to do. So,
Andy, I got to bring up a dirty part of this business, if you don't mind with me. You seem like a real nice guy, but I'm sure you've been around it. Mentors, street agents, whatever you want to call them, representing, whether it's a single mom representing 3, 4, 5 kids, it's an issue down here. It's gotten some schools in trouble. I'm not going to get into specifics about it, but how do you handle that? And have we learned any lessons from that about people who can deliver players, and we find out they're part of the decision-making for these players? How do you treat that?
You know, I think that goes back to the first question you guys asked me. Those guys that we have in our office that are kind of really dialed into this South Florida community, it's just building those relationships early and finding out who the decision-makers are in that kid's process. You know, as early as we can identify who those people are and who has the influence, it's finding out what's important to that kid. And we're not going to be a fit for every kid down here.
So, right.
We just have to know which kids we're going to buy into Coach Diaz's program, all the things that he said are important to him, you know, the passion for football. They're ready to compete. They want to be physical. If they have all those traits, and we can identify all those things early that they're a great match, you know, that's going to just help us in the long run. But you don't always know that. I mean, we just have to find out who the decision makers are, and we just have to build those relationships, and however it goes, it needs to go. But, you know, Coach Diaz is adamant that he's going to run this program the right way, and that's how we're going to do it. So
we've talked about the NFL draft last week, where 5 kids, number one picks, they went to other schools outside. Do you look at, okay, why are we losing people, or is what happened, and you're just focused on, okay, here are the next guys, and here's how we can keep them?
Yeah, well, I think you're always trying to get better. I mean, those guys were obviously before I got here, so I don't really know all their situations, but, you know, Coach Diaz is big on quality control in everything we do. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's a spring practice event, or if it's a recruiting event, or we'll get back in the spring off the road recruiting, and we're going to quality control that. So everything we do, we're going to go back and reassess and find out, you know, what could we have done better. So every kid we're recruiting right now, we're always going back and, how can we do this better? How can we make the university stand out, or the program stand out more than we did, or where did we fall short here? Where do we do really well here? So we're always doing that, you know. So I think as we go forward, we're going to track that even more, and try to learn lessons that, you know, we can apply to other kids and other situations. So, yeah, I mean, we're always doing that, always trying to learn, always trying to get better, and find out what makes these kids tick. So,
hey Andy, I want to ask you, have you guys had DeMarcus Van Dyke run a 40 for you recently? Can he still run pretty good, or we're not sure?
After all these years. He claims he can run pretty fast. We haven't seen it yet. We've been talking about that. I guess there's some 40 event that's going on. I think there's a Chad Johnson or something that's throwing this 40 event that's going to be on TV. So we've tried to talk to Marcus and to get in that and running that event. But
yeah,
I don't know if he's committed to it yet. So.
No, he's one of our favorite guys, man. He is unbelievable. So glad you guys got him working with you, because I think he is a big asset in the inner city. He's really good and very well respected. That's a real good pickup for that staff of yours. No question about it. Andy, it's great having you, man. Thank you so much. Appreciate you spending some time with us this morning. Thank you.
Absolutely, guys. Take care.
All right, Andy Vaughn, Director of Player Personnel for the University of Miami.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.